Blog Talk Radio.
God bless you, saints. Thank you for tuning in to the Word of God through Jesus Christ, Street and Outreach Broadcast. My name is Apostle Allen E. Coleman, Jr. Thank God for this early morning fellowship. I'd like to ask you to join me in prayer while you find the book of Judges, chapter 4. Father, in Jesus' name, we ask you to forgive us for all of our sins. We thank you for gathering us together, and thank you for blessing us to be under the banner of your word. We ask, Lord, that you minister to us, that you reveal things to us, that you give my sisters in the prophetic office a deeper understanding about the office you have them in. Please move in a mighty way, that you get all the glory, the thanks, and the praise. Fill me with the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge. Give me a spiritual understanding of your word. Make me usable and use me in Jesus' name. Minister to thy servant also. In Jesus' name, we thank you and we pray. Amen. Again, while you're finding Judges chapter 4, I'm going to read the description of the lesson as is our custom. The prophetess Deborah was very powerful in the ministry that God had her over. She governed a nation. When they had a question about anything concerning God's laws, standards, and other situations, God was able to use her to share the answers with Israel. 20 years here, the children of Israel were oppressed by King Jabin of the Canaanites. They were forsaken by God at first because of their wickedness. The prophet Ehud was the second judge of Israel during their 18-year oppression from Moab. He was a left-handed Benjaminite that the Lord blessed to attack the Moabites and to free Israel from oppression over the next 80 years. Then Israel did evil in the sight of God after the prophet Ehud died. That's why they were sold into the hand of King Jabin. The Lord used prophetess Deborah and the prophet Barak to fight for Israel, and they were successful under the Lord's leading. The prophet Barak had no problem with it being said that the Lord shall give the victory to a woman, because he knew that the Lord was using the prophetess over this ministry. Prophetess Deborah didn't try to go out there and fight with the enemy, nor did she seek fame, fortune, or prestige. She just obeyed the Lord's will for her, and that's why God used her. She knew she was a prophetess and remained that, and God used her mightily. You don't have to be a pastor to be over ministry, sister. This was part 4 in the teaching series of God's Avengers, The Adventures of the Fivefold Ministry, and this is the Office of the Prophet and Prophetess part. Again, I'd like to ask you to turn to Judges chapter 4. I'm in the King James Version, and we are going to read verses 1 through 9, and scripture reads on this wise. And the children of Israel again did evil in the sight of the Lord when Ehud was dead. And the Lord sold them into the hand of Jabin, king of Canaan, that reigned in Hazor, the captain of whose host was Sisera, which dwelt in Harosheth of the Gentiles. And the children of Israel cried unto the Lord, for he had 900 chariots of iron, and 20 years he mightily oppressed the children of Israel. And Deborah, a prophetess, the wife of Lapidoth, she judged Israel at that time, and she dwelt under the palm tree of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel in Mount Ephraim. And the children of Israel came up to her for judgment, and she sent and called Barak, the son of Abinoam, out of Kadesh Naphtali, and said unto him, hath not the Lord God of Israel commanded, saying, go and draw toward Mount Tabor, and take with thee 10,000 men of the children of Naphtali and of the children of Zebulun, and I will draw unto thee to the river Kishon. Sisera, the captain of Jabin's army, with his chariots and his multitude, and I will deliver him into thine hand. And Barak said unto her, if thou wilt go with me, then I will go. But if thou wilt not go with me, then I will not go. And she said, I will surely go with thee. Notwithstanding, the journey that thou takest shall not be for thine honor, for the Lord shall sell Sisera into the hand of a woman. And Deborah arose and went with Barak to Kadesh. Father, in Jesus' name, make me usable and use me. Allow me to decrease that you may increase. You do the teaching. Make this lesson deep yet simple, and simple yet deep, that you get the glory. In Jesus' name, I thank you, and I pray. Amen. Again, the thought that God gave me for this lesson is called, you don't have to be pastor to be over ministry, sister. And the title of the lesson is, the prophetess that follows the Lord is dangerous. It's important here that we notice some words and some definitions. One word we need to notice is the word bishop, which is mentioned in 1 Timothy 3:1. And this is from the Greek word episkopai, which is used 4 times in the New Testament. And the definition is inspection for relief. Also, by implication, it means superintendence. It's also rendered an office in Acts 1:20, called a bishopric. It also means overseership. In 1 Timothy 3:2, the word bishop is used again, but this time it's not episkopai, but it's episkopos, and it means a superintendent. In other words, a Christian officer in general charge of a or the church. And you know, a church is not a building. Literally or figuratively, episkopos means bishop, overseer. Bishop and overseer, or bishop, comma, overseer. Another word we want to look at is pastors. In Ephesians 4:11 in the New Testament, it talks about the fivefold ministry, and it mentions pastors. This is from the Greek word poimen, which means a shepherd, literally or figuratively. It also means pastor, overseers, bishops, superintendent. Now, it's funny that bishop and pastor mean the same thing, but it's good to know that. A lot of times in the earth realm, man is doing what man wants to do and operating according to man's own opinions or ideas instead of operating according to Scripture. Deborah went by the office of prophetess. That's what God called her in. The word prophetess in Judges 4:4 is from the Hebrew word nebiyah, and it's a feminine version of the prophet, Nabi. And the word Nebiyah is defined as a prophetess or generally an inspired woman, by implication, a poetess. And that's very deep. And a lot of you that I'm sure that know about poetry knows that poetry doesn't always rhyme. So don't be thrown by poetess. In the New Testament, the word that means prophetess is the Greek word prophetess, which is the feminine version of prophetess, which means prophet. And prophetess is a female foreteller or an inspired woman. It's also the self assumed title of the woman Jezebel in Revelation 2:20. Deborah was a prophetess used by God. lot of people assume that women should not be in ministry. And that is very wrong because, as we see here by example, Deborah was in ministry and she stood in the office of prophetess. She was satisfied with what God called her to be in. A lot of times people figure that if they call themselves apostle or if they call themselves prophet or if they call themselves prophetess, that this makes them very deep. And then there's some people that go way overboard and call themselves apostolic prophets or apostolic prophetesses and all of this stuff that Scripture does not support. It's very embarrassing because if you have not the anointing to carry out this work that you say that God called you to be in, then that is a very, very embarrassing thing. I like to also let the Lord use me to point out that God specified in the Hebrew and in the Greek language that there was a difference between Nabi and Nebiyah. Nabi was a prophet, yes, but it is an inspired male, an inspired man. Nebiyah is an inspired woman. That's powerful. So that really knocks out the era of men calling women prophets. No, God said prophetess. He was very intelligent in what he did. There's another lesson in that, but this is not the time for that because we had to deal with this situation dealing with Deborah. Israel had, this was a time when there were no kings, and God raised up judges because Israel kept getting into trouble. They kept joining with different people. They lived among different people. They lived among the Jebusites. They lived among the Hittites and the Hivites and the Perizzites. They lived among the Canaanites. They lived among all of these people. And because they lived among them, what they did is instead of them not joining with him, instead of them not dealing with him, what they did is they intermingled with them. We're still living in a day where the church or the people of God are still doing the same thing. God does not want us to intermingle with those who do not serve the God that we serve because they are not walking under the banner of blessing as we are supposed to be walking under, because the blessings of God are for the children of God. So during this time, Israel lived among the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Hivites, the Perizzites, the Amorites, and the Jebusites. But as Scripture says, but instead of destroying them, people of Israel intermarried with them. The young men of Israel took their girls as wives, and the Israeli girls married their men. And soon Israel was even worshiping their gods. So the people of Israel were very evil in God's sight, for they turned against Jehovah their God and worshiped Baal and the Asheroth idols. Then the anger of the Lord flamed out against Israel, and he let King Cushan-Rishathaim of eastern Syria conquer them. They were under his rule for 8 years, but when Israel cried out to the Lord, he gave them Caleb's nephew, Othniel, son of Kenaz, Caleb's younger brother, to save them. So Othniel was a judge. He saved them. The Spirit of the Lord took control of him, and he reformed and purged Israel so that when he led the forces of Israel against the army of King Cushan-Rishathaim, the Lord helped Israel conquer him, completely. Then for 40 years under Othniel, there was peace in the land. But when Othniel died, the people of Israel turned once again to their sinful ways, and so God helped King Eglon of Moab to conquer part of Israel at that time. Allied with it were the armies of the Ammonites and the Amalekites. These forces defeated the Israelites and took possession of Jericho, often called the City of Palm Trees. For the next 18 years, the people of Israel were required to pay crushing taxes to King Eglon. But when they cried out to the Lord, he sent them a savior, Ehud, the son of Gera, a Benjaminite, who was left-handed. Ehud was the man chosen to carry Israel's annual tax money to the Moabite capital. Before he went on this journey, he made himself a double-edged dagger, 18 inches long, and hid it in his clothing, strapped against his right thigh. After delivering the money to King Eglon, who, by the way, was very fat, he started home again. But outside the city at the quarries of Gilgal, he sent his companions on and returned alone to the king. "I have a secret message for you," he told him. The king immediately dismissed all those who were with him so that he could have a private interview. Ehud walked over to him, and as he was sitting in a cool upstairs room, and said to him, "It is a message from God." King Eglon stood up at once to receive it, whereupon Ehud reached beneath his robe with his strong left hand, pulled out the double-bladed dagger strapped against his right thigh, and plunged it deep into the king's belly. The hilt of the dagger disappeared beneath the flesh, and the fat closed over it as the entrails oozed out, leaving the dagger there. Ehud locked the doors behind him and escaped across an upstairs porch. Israel has been through so much. It is very important to understand that point. When the king's servants returned and saw that the doors were locked, they waited, thinking that perhaps he was using the bathroom. But when, after a long time, he still didn't come out, they became concerned and got a key. And when they opened the door, they found their master dead on the floor. Meanwhile, Ehud had escaped past the quarry to Sierra. When he arrived in the hill country of Ephraim, he blew a trumpet as a call to arms and mustered an army under his own command. "Follow me," he told them, "for the Lord has put our enemies, the Moabites, at your mercy." The army then proceeded to seize the fords of the Jordan River near Moab, preventing anyone from crossing. Then they attacked the Moabites and killed about 10,000 of the strongest and most skillful of their fighting men, letting not one escape. So Moab was conquered by Israel that day, and the land was at peace for the next 80 years. Scripture says the next judge after Ehud was Shamgar, son of Anath. He once killed 600 Philistines with an ox goad, thereby saving Israel from disaster. But after Ehud's death, the people of Israel again sinned against the Lord. So the Lord let them be conquered by King Jabin of Hazor in Canaan. The commander-in-chief of his army was Sisera, who lived in Harosheth Hagoyim. He had 900 iron chariots and made life unbearable for the Israelites for 20 years. But finally, they begged the Lord for help. Israel's leader at that time, the one who was responsible for bringing the people back to God, was Deborah, a prophetess, the wife of Lapidoth. She held court at a place now called Deborah's Palm Tree between Ramah and Bethel in the hill country of Ephraim, and the Israelites came to her to decide their disputes. Deborah was satisfied with the ministry that God had her over. She didn't try to be a shepherd. She didn't try to intrude in the office of the priesthood. She was satisfied with being the prophetess. You know, when God places you in office and he gives you your responsibility and he tells you the point of him placing you in the office, there's a great joy in working for the Lord. When you are happy and grateful for God calling you instead of you being one of those that he didn't call, then you don't make a big deal out of could have been, but you're grateful for what God called you to do. Barak was a prophet. He was a commander of the army. And see, the thing about Barak, even though scripture doesn't say verbatim Barak was a prophet, when you understand the prophetic office or any office for that matter, you can read how God uses the person, and the spiritual gift will define the ministry gift. She summoned Barak, the son of Abinoam, who lived in Kadesh in the land of Naphtali, and said to him, "The Lord God of Israel has commanded you to mobilize 10,000 men from the tribes of Naphtali and Zebulun." Here Deborah was, the prophetess, acting as a foreteller. She was telling him what the Lord said to do and what was going to happen. Lead them to Mount Tabor to fight King Jabin's mighty army with all his chariots under General Sisera's command. The Lord says, "I will draw them to the Kishon River, and you will defeat them there." Deborah was used by God to tell him this. And Barak, who respected her ministry, he respected the anointing of the woman of God. With no jealousy, no competition, she didn't act unseemly. He didn't act macho. Instead, what he said was, "I'll go, but only if you go with me," because he understood the anointing on her life. The only, you know, people who understand the anointing God got on their own life are comfortable with the anointing that the Lord has on your life. There's a lot of people who don't understand the anointing on their life, and when they see God use you, they get jealous. They get intimidated sometimes. You'd be surprised how many pastors are over a ministry, and when they see that God has a prophet or a prophetess there, and that prophet or that prophetess, every time God uses them to say something, it comes to pass. Every time God uses them to foretell something, it happens. Every time God uses them to pray, the ministry is protected. You'd be surprised how many people are watching your anointing and coveting what God uses you to do, and even try to be like you. It doesn't matter who it is. It's family. But we're dealing with those that are in the ministry. You have to be very careful, even in the ministry, who you share the visions with that God give you. Because just like Deborah said to him, even though you're going to win this battle, and God is going to give you the victory, you're not going to get the glory. You're not going to get the credit. No one's going to congratulate you. No one's going to shake your hand. No one's going to say Prophet Barak did anything. And he was fine with that. It didn't bother him. It's a blessing when you see the harmony of the gifts work together. Jezebel called herself a prophetess as well. In Revelation chapter 2, verse 20, that word that means prophetess in the New Testament, which is prophetess, that word was also a self-assumed title of the woman Jezebel. There's some people that are in the office of prophet and prophetess that have not been called by God. And you can tell who they are because of the what they project, what you see on the outside. A true seasoned prophet and seasoned prophetess, they know that God is not going to always use them to prophesy. A seasoned prophet or prophetess will know when something is wrong sometimes, but God will not reveal to them exactly what is wrong, and they'll make it known. Whenever you see a minister who is too ashamed to say, "I don't know," something is wrong with that picture. You have to be careful where you eat at. You have to be careful of the ministry that you sit under, because every ministry that says Jesus on the outside, on the sign, whether on the yard or above the door, every ministry that says the name of Jesus or something holy is not always from God. There are ministries where the pastor is a mason. There's ministries where the evangelists in the ministries are Eastern stars. You have to be careful of this because for those of you that didn't know, when you reach the 30th degree in Masonry, you have to take an oath that says Lucifer is God. Now, anyone taking that kind of an oath, that believes that kind of a doctrine, and that's sitting over the ministry, the devil already has a place. Already has a place. Deborah was a prophetess that didn't try to do everything. It is important to understand that the fivefold ministry should work together and not against one another. There are no master prophets. There are no chief apostles. The only chief apostle was Jesus Christ. The only master prophet was Jesus Christ. Deborah was used by God to accomplish just what the Lord told her was going to happen. When this brother said, I'll only go if you go with me, she said in verse 9, all right, I'll go with you, but I'm warning you now that the honor of conquering Sisera will go to a woman instead of you. So she went with him to Kadesh. You could tell a good leader, because a good leader will always prepare you. God will use a good leader to warn you. God will use a good leader to let you know that even though you're working with the ministry, God is using me over the ministry, but if you walk with me, I will let the Lord use me to show you how to follow God. Good leaders produce good leaders. Bad leaders produce bad leaders. Prideful leaders produce prideful leaders. It's important to understand what the Holy Ghost is telling us to do as he uses us in office. That's why God said that the prophetess that follows the Lord is dangerous. She's dangerous against the enemy. But the prophetess that follows herself is dangerous to herself. The devil is not worried about anyone that doesn't follow God. He's not worried about anyone that always wants their ego stroked. He's not. If Barack was the type of prophet to say, well, if the victory's not going to go to me, then I'm not going to go and fight, the devil would have no problem with him. He has no problem with a person who wants to imitate someone else because he knows that even though you might try to be like that person, the anointing on that person you don't have. In Scripture, First Kings 13, there was a man of God that the Lord sent to go and to speak against an altar. And the man of God went, and the Lord told him not to go back the same way he came. The Lord told him not to eat nothing in that city. The Lord told him all of that. And the king said to this unnamed prophet, come to the palace with me and rest a while and have some food, and I'll give you a reward because you healed my arm. But the prophet said to the king, even if you gave me half your palace, I wouldn't go into it, nor would I eat or drink even water in this palace, for the Lord has given me strict orders not to eat anything or drink any water while I'm here, and not to return to Judah by the road I came on. Well, this very same unnamed prophet was approached by an old prophet who wasn't doing anything no more, who said to him that an angel told me to bring you back home with me. And that unnamed prophet went, listen, prophetesses and prophets, if God told you don't do something, don't do it. If God told you don't go somewhere, don't go. If God told you don't receive something, don't receive it. If God told you to come out of that ministry, come out of that ministry. Listen to this word of wisdom and this word of knowledge. God has sent some of you prophets and prophetesses to ministries to go and help them, to go and share with them what thus saith the Lord, because they're in spiritual trouble. They're under attack by the enemy. And the pastor might think that he has everything under control, but sometimes it's because of effective leadership that's causing the attack. God has sent you there to try to help. If the pastor don't want to help, and when God says, leave the ministry, do what he say. It's very important that you do what he says. Sister prophetesses, it's very important that you follow the Lord. It's very important that you don't get involved in a clique. It's very important, brother prophets, that you don't start a clique. It's very important that you follow God. It's very important. The prophetic anointing is a very powerful anointing. It is so powerful that the prophetic anointing can be a blessing to you or it can hurt you. Let me explain that as God give it to me. The prophet and the prophetess, they are anointed by God to be his mouthpiece and to speak what thus saith the Lord. And before God does anything, he said that he will reveal it to his prophets first, his servants, the prophets, because they serve God. But you got to understand something. When you are the type of person who's trying to be a prophet, or a prophetess, and you feel that you have to prophesy every time you open your mouth, the devil will cause you to prophesy, and you be told people, God said this is going to happen, and it doesn't happen. It doesn't happen. And, you know, there's a lot of people that use that scripture, well, you know, the gift was given in earthly vessels and blah, blah, blah. And listen, whenever God tells a prophet or a prophetess to say something, it comes to pass. When Deborah said this to Barak, to the prophet, it came to pass. In 1 Kings 13, that old prophet was jealous and envious of the anointing of the young prophet. And that's why he told him, an angel said to me to bring you back to my house. And the unnamed prophet went, and as they were sitting down eating, the old man said, aha! That's all a person want to do is say aha to you. You have to be careful. If God told you don't join that choir, don't join it. And the reason why is because there might be sin in that choir. If God told you, listen, leave this ministry and I'll tell you where to go, then do what God say, because there might be sin in that ministry. Watch this. A lot of pastors call on other ministers from the outside to come and minister and do revivals and so forth while there are gifts right there in that building. In that ministry, there's evangelists, there's prophets, there's prophetesses right there in that building, in that ministry. But the pastors send outside because they call on people they know. Not only is it a fundraiser, because, you know, when they say you come and bring people and sow into our ministry and we'll come and bring people and sow into your ministry, not only is it a fundraiser, but also if they're friends, the person coming is not going to tell you what thus saith the Lord. What they're going to do is tell you what they say. They're going to congratulate you when no congratulation is really deserved. Pastors don't want to use nobody right there in the ministry, because they know that the people in the ministry know what's going on, especially the prophets and the prophetesses. Those of you that are under prophetic anointing that's gone through grief at the ministry, the assignment God has you on, I'd like to pray for you. Father, in Jesus' name, strengthen your prophets and prophetesses. Let your anointing stir them up, empower them to continue on with the mission. Oh, glory to God. Join them with others of like spirit that's able to walk with them and encourage them, other prophets and prophetesses, that they should be strengthened in the name of Jesus. Please, Father, let not your mission go undone. And I ask in Jesus' name that you hold the pastor back. Hold back everyone in that ministry that is oppressing your prophet and prophetess. Please, Father. Everyone that's causing them to cry, I'm asking, Lord, in Jesus' name, that your right hand just move over that ministry and start separating. But move your prophet and prophetess out of there first. In the mighty name of Jesus, I thank you and I pray, amen. The Lord wants you to understand, prophetesses, that you need to follow him. And you prophets, like the Lord said in the prior lesson, be careful what you ask for. When you ask of God, Lord, send me on an assignment. Be careful, because God will send you on an assignment, and you're not always going to like it. Some of you have said, Lord, I'd be glad when you show me the office you called me in. And God showed you as a prophetic office that he called you in it. And your life has not been the same. Because ministry, it does cost something. It does. It will cost you your life. It'll cost you your marriage. It'll cost you position. It'll cause you to be the black sheep of the family, the one that no one wants to be bothered with. It will cause you to be called a holy roller or a fanatical Christian. But that's all right. That's all right. Because guess what? When the tables turn and God prepared a table before you in the presence of your family, of your enemies, of everyone that's speaking against you, God is going to prove that he's with you. There is a reward in following Jesus Christ. There's a reward for allowing God to use you in the office, the right office he called you in. So, sisters, you don't have to be pastor. Don't let nobody tell you you have to be a pastor to be over ministry, because you don't. Because as a prophetess, just like Deborah and Anna that was in the temple in Luke chapter 2, just like them, God can use you over ministry, and he very much will. There were other prophetesses that were in Scripture that were good. Hannah was a prophetess. God used her to pray and intercede on her own behalf, and the Lord blessed her with a son, Samuel, and she dedicated him to God. She kept her vow. Other good prophetesses were Miriam and Huldah and Isaiah's wife and the daughters of Philip. The false prophetesses were the women of Judah, according to Ezekiel 13 and 17, and Noadiah in Nehemiah 6, verse 14, and Jezebel, Revelation 2 and 20. Stay encouraged, those of the prophetic anointing. I love you. You can call for prayer 203-745-8162, 24 hours. The ministry is open 24 hours. I mean, that's what God called me to, and I have to do what the Lord said to do. But if you need someone to pray with you, if you need to vent, if you need someone on earth to talk to, you can call the ministry. My name is Apostle Allen E. Coleman, Jr. Again, the number is 203-745-8162, and the ministry is open 24/7. Doesn't matter how late or early you call. Also, if you look on my Facebook wall and look at the description of this lesson, you'll see the link in which you can submit your prayer request to the ministry's website. And when you submit your prayer request for that moment on, your name will be put in a prayer box, and the Lord will use this ministry to pray for you daily. The prayer is uplifted before the Lord, never to be retracted. And there's also a link on my Facebook wall of this description. That's a link to the ministry's website where God can use you to sow a love offering to help us with the project of helping the homeless and the runaways, and to help get sanitary napkins and stuff for the runaway women and the women sleeping downtown on the benches. You sisters know how that is. I mean, these sisters are really going through something, and the ministry operates on donations. So we like to go to Dollar Tree and get some care packages to hand out to them. And your love offering will go a long way at Dollar Tree, because everything is a dollar. We love you and God bless you. 203-745-8162. Again, don't close your hand, but open it so that God will bless you and reward you. I love you in Jesus' name. And I need prayer. This is a good time to be married, because I need prayer. Oh, God. God bless you. Have a good morning. In Jesus' name, amen.